Lord, please don't replace me. I still want to be used for your purpose. I profess to know you. In secret I've betrayed you. So many times I need your grace, oh Jesus. My conscience is against me. Lord, only you can help me. Revive me, restore me, don't replace me. Oh God, I don't wanna be replaced. I don't wanna be replaced. I don't wanna be replaced. Restore me, Lord, please. I don't wanna be replaced. I don't wanna be replaced. I don't wanna be replaced. Restore me, Lord, please.
Welcome to Radio Neighbor International. This is your host, Dr. Emmanuel Dekir. Today, I want to welcome you. I want you to feel at home wherever you are in Radio Land. I want you to listen. Please tune in and participate. Today, we want to talk about our philosophy for education as a country in Africa. We also have invited two distinguished guests that will be gracing our talk show tonight. Before we introduce them, we want to assure our participants that you're going to have the opportunity to interact with our guests and speakers. They are fully prepared. But at this time, let us take a break. And when we come back, we will introduce our guests. Thank you very much.
A lot, God you win. And I don't pay my rent, God you win. There be one for my hand, but God you win. There be one keep my joy, but God you win. I say anything else, you know, God you win. No, no, God you win. No, no, God you win, no. I don't change my name, so God you win. I no more, I don't buy more, so God you win. I say my market no go sell, but God you win. And then we say I no go blue, but God you win. Then my brother, make them try their luck. My God go win, no, my God go win, no, my Lord go win, no. As you don't pass exam, now God you win. And then me say you no go pass, for God you win. You wake up this today last time, now God you win. Robbers they rob, they no see you, brother. They no see you, my sister. Oh yeah, fellow, but now God you win. No, now God you win.
Well, we want to thank you for being with us. At this time, we want to set a ground rules for this talk show tonight. For our participants, if you're listening to us, We want you to text this number or call this number and give us your contribution if you have questions. The number is 34716. The number again is 347-286-1716. Before we introduce our guest, I want us to, first of all, welcome you who are making us to stay on the air, our listener and our guest. We want you to send us your questions. Because of you, we have this show running. Our guests today are Mr. Sivikas Basigya. Mr. Sivikas Basigya is a former Grand Bassa Senator Kennedy. And this man, this distinguished personality, has been advocating for education development in Liberia. Also in studio, we have Ambassador Bobby Whitfield. He's from Australia. He's been working with the Refugee Council in Australia. He has been doing great job with our people. And we have invited these two distinguished personalities that they will come and participate into this show. We were also able to create 5 questionnaires that will be posed to each of our guests in studio. They will be allowed to answer these questions. We will also obtain questions from our listeners and participants out there. We're going to give our studio guests 1 minute each to introduce themselves. We're going to take a break, come back. Our studio guests will have the opportunity to introduce themselves. Thank you very much.
Hiyo, hiyo, gonna hiyo.
Hiyo.
Hiyo, hiyo, gonna hiyo.
Hiyo.
Beme, beme. Zayo, zayo.
Zayo.
Zayo, zayo.
Zayo.
Deka buka komawe, asianga obo.
At this education talk show, we find solutions and we make recommendations to the Liberian education system. We are here tonight to discuss education in its entirety. Tonight in studio, I first of all want to bring our first guest, Ambassador Bobby Whitfield of Australia. You are most welcome. We are excited and pleased that you were able to honor our invitation. Would you please introduce yourself?
Thank you, Dr. Emmanuel Dekay. It is a pleasure to be with you, and I would like to say good day to my brother and colleague in studio. I'm so honored to be sharing this big platform with you this afternoon, Sivikas Basigya. I know we're going to have a great, great discussions here on education, especially when it comes to Liberia. I would also like to say a good day and good evening or good morning wherever you are in the world. In Radio Land, listening to this great program, and I just want to appreciate Radio NIMA for Radio NIMA International for this wonderful platform to be able to contribute to the education sector and other sectors of Great Liberia. My name is Bobby Whitfield, and I fled Liberia precisely in 1990. I fled the Civil War in Liberia. I live and grew up in Yekepa, Nima County, so you know that I'm a Nimbadian. I grew up in Yekepa, Nima County, and like I said, the war broke up right in that area, you know, and we were forced to flee. And since we left, we lived in Guinea for a number of years as refugees. Went to the refugee school there, completed my high school in the Lola refugee camp. Got into teaching, taught in the refugee school for 4 years before going to Guinea, the capital of Guinea-Conakry, and taught English as a second language there at the University of Kofi Annan for another 2 years before God, you know, was with us, and we were very fortunate to have been resettled to Australia through the United Nations Refugee Resettlement Program back in 2003. And since I came to Australia, I have devoted and dedicated my life to serving the community and serving people. It's a great country, wonderful country here in Australia. In Australia, I've acquired a master's degree in development practice. I've served in a number of leadership roles here, including in the state that I live, president of the Liberian Association of Queensland, left that role after 4 years and became president of the Queensland African Communities Council. That is the big body of all of the African communities in Queensland. That is the state I live in. And was recently elected president of the Federation of Liberian Communities in Australia. That is the national big body, again, of all Liberians in this wonderful country, and serving our role for 2.5 years and just recently stepped down. Currently in an educational role with the Department of Education. I'm one of the managers there at the, you know, TAFE, but in predominantly community development type role. So I look forward to a very interactive conversation, and I think your studio guests and, you know, listening audience around the world have got great things to contribute. I strongly believe that, you know, education is the future. Education is the key. Thank you very much for the time.
Thank you so much, Ambassador Bobby Whitfield. We are excited to have you in studio. Before we go to our second guest, we want to inform our listening public, our participants, those who listen to us on Radio NIMA International. We want you to text our operator, and the number is 347-286-1716. The number once more is 347-286-1716. Now, I just want to inform our studio guests that the moderator will be able to come in at any time to break in and be able to bring in our participants and listeners, because we want to have this show so that this show can be very interactive and our participants can ask questions. Because the essence of this show is to find solutions and make recommendations to the Liberian education system. Mr. Bobby, want to thank you for introducing yourself and telling us your background and how you've been into education development. And tonight is the best place you are, because we're discussing the philosophy of education. Now, I want to bring in our second studio guest, Mr. Sivikas Basigya, former Great Basel County Senator Kennedy. You are most welcome. Introduce yourself, sir.
Good evening from where I speak. Speak actually from Florida currently, and I'm Sivikas Civicus Basigya from Basel, and I'm involved with advocacy activism in a humanitarian job and politics, and that is just all that I do basically. I want to extend my greetings up there to listeners and those invited to listen, and my comrade who is in studio from Australia. I do appreciate that we both share the platform together today with Dr. Reverend Emmanuel Adichie to talk about education, how we can change the world around us. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Sivikos Basigier. Now, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to be asking our student guests some questions. And we're also going to be going to the line to see whether we have some questions from our participants and our listeners. So at this time, let us take a break. Thank you for following us. It is all about Liberia, finding solutions and making recommendations. Now, we want to just start by asking our student guests a series of questions. We want to start with Mr. Sivikos Basigier. Tell us, why are you so interested in education? Do you really believe that education will make Liberia succeed?
Dr. Dickie, sure. I do believe in education because as a child growing up, I was all motivated because of education. I also believe education got different aspects and different associations. But when we talk about education, we talk about different outlets. Basically, we might not always include, you know, secondary education. Somebody might do vocational school and still be sufficient enough to do what he or she wants to do. Yeah.
I think
a
here.
I don't know. But, they just went off on me myself. Yeah.
Mr. Sivikos Basigier, are you still there?
Yeah, hello.
Yeah, go right ahead. You are live in
here. Yeah, basically, when we talk about education, it is our basic focal points because growing up in a slum community, in a swamp in community, like we all grew up in Buchanan City, it was all often said that education will be your bedfellow and a rock on which we all triumph. And today, as we all see it, and that is why we are all out here and doing what we got to do. Other people might take education in different aspects. We might consider that. They might do vocation. Some might do different programming and different studies. They might not reach the leverage. We all have reached in separate directions. But yet, it's still basically because of education. That's why they are reached where they reach today. You could be educated in different formalities. But in the absence of education in the overall, you might not be able to train into changes you want to make. So that is why people are very focused on education.
Mr. Sivikos Basigier, let me just come in a little bit. Now, I want you to tell us, be very specific. You have an organization called Let's Go to College After High School. I think I have seen some other distributions and other impacts that you guys have been making in Liberia. Now, tell us about this organization. How do you guys intend to succeed and promote education?
Dr. Dekir, we believe in innovation entrepreneurship. And so to succeed, we have to create that entrepreneurial mind for every one person who's living in the confines of the 43,000 square miles. Amongst the almost 4 million persons in Liberia, in the absence of coordinating and implying the education academic system, we believe there will be no impact in the society. And so we intend to move forward with such a project, Let's Go to College After High School, since we too have engaged a lot of things before getting upward. We believe that if we don't go back to inspire people, to motivate people, to train the minds, to teach the minds, to elevate the thoughts of the people, we believe those people will remain down there and always begging for handouts. In the presence of academic excellence, in the presence of going to school, in the presence of going to college, you can explore a lot of experiences. You can experience a lot of exchanges. You can meet a lot of people. You can interact. You can elevate your thoughts. You can change the world around you. So the essence of going to school and going to college after high school is to broaden your knowledge and to be an impact in society in direct places that you want to be. You cannot be a better nurse if you don't go to college. You can be a better president if you don't go to school and go to college. You can be a better principal and or better minister of education or a better or private sector leader if you don't go to school and go to college. So the only way to do that is for us who have learned a little to inspire and motivate the rest of the other people and give them that excitement to be able to do what they want to do. Until that, we will never get there where we want to get.
Thank you so much, Mr. Sivikas Basika. This was a very, very significant point. Now, we want to bring in Ambassador Bobby with you from Australia. Bobby, we want you to tell us in Australia today and our thousands and millions of listeners out there, what are some of the strategies that you guys use in Australia that will help Liberia develop its education system? Is Bobby there? Okay, I think we lost Bobby. I think we lost Mr. Wilfie. Well, we want to go back to Mr. Sivikas Basigye. Do you think that in Liberia, education is being used to raise political and social consciousness? How can we make education an integrated component of our overall development efforts?
We can make education an integral component of our overall version of the Liberian scenario, specifically when we inspire people, when we motivate people, when we encourage people. We cannot look down on the rest of the people. We cannot leave them impoverished. We cannot leave them in prostitution. We cannot leave them in the political smuggling. We can lead them into money laundering. We can lead them into harassment and think that their lives will get better. If you leave a group of people in isolation, you aren't making them an integral part of the society. If you leave a group of people into handouts for life or for living, you're not making them an integral part of the society. If you leave a group of people in the slums to be on a car washer, then you're not making it. Or if you leave them in the Don Bosco, the West Point community that had not developed in 100 years, or if you leave them into a Clara town, where we all may have grown up and left it abandoned, and the people over there have to struggle for living, and amongst them, maybe 2% went to school and college. The rest of the other people are just smugglers. So in
okay, Mr. Sivikas Basigye, I will have to just hold you over there for a second. We will now take our caller from Atlanta, Georgia, and his last digits of his phone number is 3258. Caller, you are most welcome. Call your name and introduce yourself, please.
Yeah, hello, gentlemen. My name is Mohamed Kamara, and I had an opportunity to express myself last week with you guys again, and I would like to give my opinions again on this issue, which is more dear to me, because I'm one of the young generations of Liberia, and I feel like without our voice, without our opinions, without actions, Liberia will go nowhere. So
you are most welcome.
I would like to say this to you, ladies and gentlemen, to all those who are listening. This is the problem that the same thing I said last week again, and I'm going to express it again. Even though the gentleman that's speaking right now is a little bit general, but let's make it narrow. Let's make this problem look a little bit narrow for Nigerian people to understand. This is a complicated issue, but also it's simpler if we put our minds together. The problem with Liberia education infrastructure is this. We need to break it down. We need to look at the local sector. We need to look at the growing children of Liberia. You cannot just bring books. The same thing I was saying last week, the gentleman, the minister said, you can bring new books to people. If you don't know how to read, how can you just read books, buy books? You have to create a foundation. We need to break, like a superintendent in local various areas, counties. We have 15 counties now, if I'm not mistaken, in Liberia now. So we need to break it down. Instead of just a minister, we need to break it down to county, to superintendent. So we can break it down. They can focus on each county, local division levels, in education-wise, and break it down like tablets of them, or like education system we have in America. So that way, children that can learn from the beginning, when they are ready, for high school and ready for college. Someone that cannot have to go to college and go to trade school, but already know how to read. They have achieved a lot of standards, the major standards that we need in life to know how to read and write and read very well before they get to high school, before they reach the 12th grade. But if we cannot focus on local levels in terms of education, our Liberian children cannot go forward. We keep focusing on university, LU, every day. You guys keep focusing on the area that we really don't need to focus on right now. People who are in LU, how they got there? You got to ask that question yourself. How they got to LU? The same way they grow up. But if we grow up in that kind of way, we need our children to grow up in a way that we know we give them the equipment, the tools to be ready for high school, the tools to be ready for college. If they tell me, Daddy, I don't want to go to college, okay, you have a choice. Go to trade school. You don't have to go to college to have money. I'm not into politics. But I believe that if the same way America is looking right now, if people are fed up, people who are businessmen like us, we're going to get into politics because of the way situations are going. But right now, we are here to listen to people, to make politicians, to help them to make the right decision. And the right decision is for us to focus on the children education. The children, 10 years old, now up, let's focus on that area small. Let's break it down.
So, if I may ask you this question,
yes,
what sort of philosophy of education we do have in Liberia? Because we have an education authority, education ministries who are responsible to administer our education system, and they have formulated procedures and proposals to run our system. So what sort of philosophy do they have in that country? Do you have any idea?
I have an idea. The kind of philosophy they have in that country as of right now, and that has been continuously serving us generations after generations. We are 100 and some more years, the same repeating the same mistakes. It's a general foundation that we have in Liberia. General. We are doing broad education. We are not doing specific education. I've been to Ghana. It's specific. Even if you go to the rural area in Ghana, you will see children, you will see a specific education that they are targeted to. They are target. You have to set a target. Liberia don't have a target. We just all over. We want to go to, we'll go to university, LU, we'll get them some books. Tomorrow we'll go to the other one, we'll get them some books. You see, the people will learn, they will not learn that way, my brother. We have to make ourselves specific. We have to have a target and say, Liberia right now, they have a general target, if I'm going to answer your question. It's a general target, and general target cannot be achieved if we do not have a set, we do not have a specific, we have to have a specific goal. Okay.
So I was still a guest. Do you have a question for Mr. Sidikos and Ambassador Bobby?
Yes, the only thing I have for them is they're all talking in terms of right now. The other gentleman from Australia, I have not heard from his opinion yet. But the other gentleman that's in Florida right now, that's maybe running for senatorial position. My comment to him was, some of the comments to him that I'm gonna make is that he's a little bit general. I want him to be specific. Why his intention in terms of education? Because we want to be specific. We are tired of being general. For almost 100 and some more years, it's just general. You go and give them a book, they laugh, smile, they're happy for 15 minutes.
I just want to make this correction that Mr. Sivikas Basiga is a former senatorial candidate.
Okay,
he's not running
right.
for, yeah, he's not running for any senatorial seat.
Okay,
yeah, you can go
okay,
ahead.
My statement was, I want him to be a little bit specific. I want him to be specific when it comes to the education sector, because he's talking about the way he's talking about how the college is wrong, how the people can go to church school. But I cannot go to church school. They come from somewhere. But I want him to be specific so we all can collaborate.
Okay.
We can help him. We can help him that way to break it down.
All right, Mr. Kamara, we want to thank you so much for coming on the show. We want to apologize for last week. We weren't able to give you that opportunity. But please stay on because we have a lot of callers that are calling you. Right now, we want to recognize a caller number 5247. The last digit is 5247 from Minnesota. Will you just introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hi, Dr. Dekie.
Hi, you are most welcome.
Yeah, I'm Joko Bryant, calling from Minnesota. And I want to say thank you to my brother, Semiko Basigia, also. But I think we are beclouding the essence of this conversation. And initially, the question was, what is our philosophy for education as a country in Africa? Instead, we are delving deeply into whether people are being educated. What are the mechanisms or the support from government towards Liberians being educated? I think we have slacked this conversation. But let me say this. In my opinion, I do believe that at this point in time, we do not have a philosophy of education in Liberia. Because let's go back to educational philosophy. It's the guiding principles for the big picture. Educate their related issues, such as students learning the potential and most effectively maximized. How can our students learn and maximize what they have learned? Those are things that we should be looking at. For an example, as to whether our students are learning, let's search from the perspective of looking at our students abiding by the norms and values of our society. These are things that should be enshrined within our educational system.
So,
for an example,
if I could just come in to ask this question just for our listening audience.
Yeah.
Because you, for your initial statement, you said that we do not have philosophy of education in Liberia.
Sure.
So
yeah.
Could you describe what we have in Liberia?
We just have an open system where we believe that, look, it is a global norm that people should go to school and acquire certain skills and knowledge. And that's what we do. We adapt to it. But in every society, they do have the norms and customs in the context of education. Now, let's look at an example. Let's look at Liberia. Our SEU, there are elements within the SEU, and all of these elements constitute a philosophy. The plot and the spade in the SEU indicate the dedication of the hard work for the development of a nation. How many of our students do understand that? Has it been conceptualized by our society to liberate? No. The mentality of a Liberian man is the government. Government will do this. People sit in communities, they pile on garbage, they don't have community initiated to get garbage out of the place, and then mosquitoes killing people, then they say government. Do you understand the dedication of a hard work for the development of a nation? It's just not government. Two, let's look at our curriculum. I will compare it. Like, make a comparison to the United States. In the entire educational system in the United States, the first thing, the economic policy, is directly towards promoting and supporting capitalism. So they indirectly ensure that support in every segment of the educational system. So there's no way you will go to school in America and develop communistic mentality. Never. Those are values
now,
we should learn.
If I could just come in, I'm sorry, because the moderator is going to be coming in, you know, often, because we have our listening audience, some are in Liberia, some are in different parts of the world, so that it can be able to understand us very efficiently. Now, if you talk about comparing the Liberian education system with that of the United States, it's good that you live in Minnesota. We all live in the United States of America, and we are cognizant of the system that they have in America. We found out that government support their education system. They even provide different kinds of funding to help you to be successful in education. Now, so if you are saying the families or the parents in Liberia, the Liberian people are depending on government, that's one thing, because the responsibility of a government is to provide for its citizens. And some of the provisions is our education. And education is the right of the citizen. Do you believe that?
I do believe, but I think you're trying to get me wrong on the other side, because I was addressing the issue from the CU. That, look, if our children go to school, look, you know one thing? We are failing. Mm-hmm. We are failing because, look, we have omitted civics from being taught in Liberian schools and pretend to enshrine it in history. And we have our history that has been plastered with other African histories that do not have relevance in our society. You teaching about Mensa Kanga Musa, would you be teaching about Abraport? Would you be teaching about the reason for which the Red Riot, the impact of the Red Riot? You be teaching about people like Gabriel Barkos Matthew? You be thinking about the Pa, Moja? Teach our children, let them understand the essence. Let them understand the causes of our civil crisis. Let them understand the reason for which we went into 14 years of instability. Let them understand that. But you go and teach, Mensa Kanga Musa in the Malay Empire, then you say you got a philosophy of education? That's
okay,
going to be right.
Mr. Siveka Basigia, we want you to just stay in studio right now, our caller from Minnesota. Mr. Siveka Basigia, how will you address the response from our caller from Minnesota, describing Liberia not being able to have a philosophy of education?
Dr. Dekir, like most often times, I will consider people's opinion as just as it is. You know, when the other guy from Atlanta, when he said I was speaking in general, I couldn't listen. But then he boiled down to say I was referring to a specific group of people, so I knew he wasn't following. You know, I really spoke to a group of people in Liberia who has deficiency with a certain scenario. We were talking about how academic education could be an integral part in the second question. And then we said the only way it could become an integral part in a place like Liberia is not to isolate the people from the formalities, not to keep them impoverished, not to keep them in high rate of prostitution and illiteracy. It's to get them involved. And to get them involved, the only way it can trickle down effect is to inspire them. If you inspire them, you got to motivate them and add some value to them. You got to be able to give them that courage, that enthusiasm to want to do it. In America, you are provided with enthusiasm of financial aid. You are provided with counselors if you can make it. You are provided with tutors if you can make it. If Liberia was to advance and make people an integral part, then you got to be able to accept these different formalities. Instead of the education minister traveling around the world and looking for, I don't know what he's looking for, he should be accepting innovation, entrepreneurship as an integral part. Instead of abandoning all other innovations and thinking he knows better, he should be allowing people to come and group around him and make the society a vibrant one. To speak to my brother,
okay.
Joe O'Brien from Minnesota.
We have a caller from Liberia. The last digit is 3980. We want to hear from our people from Liberia. We are actually discussing the philosophy of education in our country, and we have a caller, 3980. Would you please introduce yourself? You are live in studio.
Okay, good morning. This is Julia Baker calling from Liberia.
You are most welcome.
What I want to... Thank you, Dr. DJ. What I want to say is that the education system of Liberia is highly disappointing, because looking at our nation, being the oldest African state, at least we should have been somewhere. As I speak, Liberia is not the least, it will be almost the least among the countries, African countries. We are nowhere when it comes to education. Now, what I think we should be dwelling on here, how can we improve our education system? And what can we do to improve it? That should be our concern tonight. The education system, of course, as the studio guest was saying, Mr. Basigia, that the people, the slum dwellers, you know, we have them and what have you. Exactly, it's not only the slum dwellers. I say it's not only the slum dwellers, but everywhere. Monrovia is not Liberia. If you heard the minister saying they share books around here, they didn't even send the book across Monrovia. Instead, you were only sharing books to public schools within Monrovia. Thus, abandoning or forgetting about private schools. What have you done? Nothing. Exactly. The private schools, mission schools, were not considered in the public school and not at the high school level.
Okay. Now, we want to thank you so much. We want to hold you right there because you just brought us some significant points, and we want our studio guests to actually discuss that. Let him respond to that. So we want to go back to Civicus. After Civicus, we're going to go to Mr. Joko Bryan, and then from there we're going to bring in our second guest, Mr. Bobby Wilfie. So at this time, Mr. Civicus, tell us, we have a caller from Liberia, Ms. Julia. She's saying
The caller from Liberia inculcated the points we make in giving the situation of slums, dweller, the people in a local and environment. She was right. We need to deal with something referred to in the rural development studies called the urban and rural development, and it's also called the rural and urban development. If the education minister is properly doing the perfect job and not to travel around the counties to only know the counties for political reasons, then by now, like the sister said, he was inculcated or imported a new project plan that has to do with rural and urban and urban and rural, so that the people in different places can be an integral part. I'm still using the online word you ask. Be an integral part of the system, but not to just go to those counties, take photos there, come back and distribute books in the various schools, and at the end of the day, you fly around various countries around the world and come and sit down and you say you are reforming. That is mere funny. That is pure joke. That doesn't even look like what we call reformation. But if we were to accept every opinion that she put forth right now and put in a suggestion back and start to scrutinize it and visit it and do as it's supposed to be, we'll have a vibrant society that will put people into that integration. Because without integration,
you have a blank
society.
Thank you so much. We want to bring by Brother Joko Bryant, and then we're going to bring our studio guest, Mr. Bobby. I hope Mr. Kamara is still on. Not forgetting about our caller too from Liberia. So even we got our studio is so packed tonight, but we're gonna try to accommodate everybody. So Mr. Bryan, what do you think about the perception for Liberia?
I listened to her, but I think I wouldn't address that appropriately, because I feel that to some extent the issue I should be addressing is the philosophy of education in Liberia. It's not about how government goes about and supporting education. It's not about going back into the slum, into the communities, and getting people educated. It's about the philosophy of education that we give to our people. Like, for example, look out at the University of Liberia. Now, the mindset of the people have been drifted to something else, where Everybody wants to go to business college because if you, oh, it got money, it got money. How many people are going to agriculture? How many people are going to engineering? It's because everybody wants to go and work to Evo Bank or Global Bank. It's the mindset from secondary, primary, secondary school were not given to them. So we need to have a solidified conception wherein we instill discipline into our students to go into a diverse discipline for the purpose of enhancing the society and not for self-aggrandizement, not for personal interest. You understand? Now, why we teach? Why we teach? How does it affect the lives of our people? We don't know. You understand? Like I said earlier, you don't teach service anymore. You focus on things that are damn relevant. I mean, so
thank
those
so
are
much.
Things. Yeah, those are things that we need to come back on the phone. We need to come back, look, and focus on what we really need to do. The idea of understanding as a nation what we need to do. How many students can sing the national anthem? It don't start forever. Most of them don't even know how many scraps we got. They don't even know the meaning of the square blue field. The meaning of the star, the 11 the seven letters that I know design the flare or sew the flare or whatever. How many of them know?
Thank
I remember I was on Lusa, I was on SKD when Lusa uh-huh. about to play. It was time to sing the national anthem, and I heard somebody liberty. That we're not going nowhere. Our 10th grade students cannot sing the national anthem, cannot say the pledge, cannot sing the Lone Star Forever. What is our philosophy? What do we stand for as a country? We're not going nowhere.
Thank you so much, Mr. Bryant. You made a very significant point. We are talking about the philosophy of education in Liberia, a country in West Africa. What do we stand for? How can we allow our children to learn and be efficient students in different schools in our country? Now, before we go to Ambassador Bobby, we want to ask our caller from Liberia, do you still have any input? Is our caller from Liberia still on?
No, I said okay. Yes. Brother in the studio there. I just want to say the argument of philosophy of teaching in Liberia will only hold if those that are responsible to ensure, like the brother calling from Minnesota, that our students are not being taught those things that they should be. But who should teach the children? And you say, we can't say everything to the government. It is the responsibility of the government to ensure that our students are taught. If they fail to do that, it won't be done. I don't know how many people, you are in the U.S., I don't know how many people there are taking the responsibility of the government to go on doing things. When it comes to education, health, whatever, it is the sole responsibility of the government, every nation, to ensure that
thank
these
you.
Things are done.
Thank you so much,
yeah.
Ms. Julia. We want you to hold right there on the line. Now, we before we go to our Ambassador Bobby Whitfield, we want to take a short break. We've been on the line, and I see a lot of callers coming in. We got a lot of questions and text messages. Don't worry, we're going to accommodate all of you. At this time, let's take a break.
Darkened by sun. after all that I've been through, who on earth can I turn to? I look to you.
Participating tonight. Well, before we can bring in Ambassador Wilson from Australia, we want to take our caller. Last digits number is 1703. You are live in studio. We are discussing the philosophy of education for a country, Liberia.
All right. Thank you. I'm Randolph Glee. And the topic is so unique because I've spent all of my life going to school in Liberia. I started from Esther Bigham, T.W. Gibson, Tuckman High, and during the course of the crisis, I graduated from St. Francis in Tapeta. I mean, Christian High in Tapeta. So I spent all of my life going through the school system in Liberia, and I know what it takes. All is not lost. All of us that had the opportunity to come to America, we owe our country something. Everyone to develop this nation called Liberia. I serve as vice president of the University of Liberia Student Union. And upon my graduation, I look in the whole system of the university. The University of Liberia does not have social work programs. And when I received my scholarship to Savannah State University, I said that I was going to enter into the Master of Social Work program so that we will have social workers after many years of crisis, those that will be able to cement the womb, that will go into communities to help people reach their God-given potential, and not politicians. Politicians will only want their vote. So those that will be able to reach to the people to help them with community initiative will be social workers. And not just people calling themselves social workers, but professional social workers. And that was my goal. And I came by the special grace of God, May 7th, I'll be graduating. And I'm going back to the university. We are working on the curriculum, everything with other professors from other states that we've been in communication going back to establish the social work program. What am I getting at? This improvement that we all yearning at, that we all wanting to get, we are not going to get the full support from the government. That is clear and very simple. The government is going to tell you that budget shuffle. But if you and I will sit in retrospect on our brothers and sisters, we need to go back to hell. Who told you that I'm not living better life here? I will be graduating with almost 4 points. I can stay and get scholarship and do PhD and get a fabulous job. But what is going to help when I have other brothers at a university and the country has been through civil war, Ebola crisis, we have the Ebola orphans all around that need help, people in the slum community that need help, I need to go back. So all of the various proposals and everything that we're saying, like I agree with my friend and brother Civica. He goes back every time he comes and scout up here for a scholarship, other opportunity, and go back and enable our brothers to go back to school. So with all of the goal and plan, that there is no system in Liberia the educational system is like this. It is not going to work until you can put your brain to work. America, you see today, some hundred years ago, was never like this. It took others who made a sacrifice. How many men
so
can get on board now to go back?
Caller, let me just hold you over there for a second. Tonight we are discussing the philosophy of education as a country in Africa, Liberia as a case study. Now, we want you to address the question about the philosophy of education in Liberia. What do you understand we have in Liberia?
We have a system. We have a very unique system. The system that prepares one from how do you call it, nursery to first grade. But what is happening? You don't have the prepared teacher. That is one. Two, you don't have people being attracted to that particular field. I give you an example of this. At the time I was serving as vice president of the University of Liberia, the president of Liberia, Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, she walked in the auditorium of the University of Liberia and said, all students attending teacher college, they are not going to pay fees. Trust me, we end up with this particular case in the mansion. It came a time, the education minister, she came on campus, she said, there is no money, there is no funding for that. So they need to go back and pay their school fees. When the president said that it is free when you go into teacher college. It was the same year she went to Doc Latin. She told the Congress there that as long as you're in Doc Latin, we're going to give you a stipend. The stipend could not come. The government has some problem. But you and I will not be able to set. So when it comes to the system, I went through the educational system, the curriculum. The curriculum is very decent. The childhood curriculum, when you go through it, it prepares every child for that stage from 5 to 6, because our educational background starts from 3 years. When you have, I got my son. My son in my restaurant, from my restaurant, I'm taking the JJ Robert. So they got a very unique
color.
System. Yeah.
Of color, what would be your name, sir?
I'm Randolph Blee.
Mr. Blake, we want to hold you over there for a second. We want to bring in Ambassador Bobby with you from Australia. We're going to come back to you. We're going to accommodate everyone who called on this show tonight. Ambassador Bobby with you. We are discussing the philosophy of education in Liberia. Tell us, give us your perception. Education is a strategy. It's not a formula. Why are we failing? What philosophy can we develop, can we strategize to improve education in Liberia?
Thank you. Thank you very much, Dr. Deke. My apologies to the studio, my colleague in studio, and to our listeners around the world. I just been using the phone all morning, and now it ran out of battery. I have to recharge it. Look,
Sorry, we lost you earlier.
Yeah, to do justice to this topic, we got to first of all look at the root world philosophy, okay? And if we take that world into consideration, it's really going to guide this discussion. So what is the philosophy? What is the philosophical approach to education in Liberia? Now, getting back to that root world philosophy, it is the theory or attitude that acts as a guiding principle for behavior. Simply, a theory or attitude that acts as a guiding principle for behavior. We can talk about the conviction, that is the ideology, the thinking, the notion, the doctrine, you know, the value, the ethics, the attitude. Those are all words that come in line with philosophical approach. Liberia does not have a philosophical approach to education as it is. Liberia, we're almost there with a philosophical approach, but then the war broke that. Since then, we have not recovered. That is the honest fact. I will give you an example of the Chinese philosophical approach towards education. It is summed up in a decent, great Chinese proverb that says, if you are planning for a year, sow rice. Planning for a decade, plant trees. If you are planning for a lifetime, educate people. That is the Chinese philosophical approach towards education. It tells the entire Chinese nation that education is more valued. It rallied the country around that idea. And it means that
government have got to put in the necessary resources, and parents have got to come to the table, including our educators. Australia, where I live, we have got a philosophical approach to education. The philosophical approach to education in Australia here is no child left behind. No child left behind. And the entire nation know about this thing, that if your child is 3 years old, they must be in a daycare getting ready to start school by the time they are 5 years old. So that you are able to tell a child grade when they tell you their age. That is how the Western world works. But like I said, the war in Liberia broke that. We were almost there. You would have had Liberians graduating from university at the age of 18, 19. We were almost there. Liberians are very smart people. Some of the most intelligent people you can think about. Our education system is one of the oldest on the continent of Africa. But I don't think since the war, we have really regained that our philosophical approach towards education. Look, it is not too late. But I think the best time to start investing in education was 10 years ago. The next best time is today, as we are discussing this topic. We cannot leave it any longer. So before we can get into the learning, approach and principle and strategy and all of these things, let us talk about the ideological approach towards education. Today, our society is almost divided into halves. If you look at half of the children, they have missed out significantly on their education. What is being done to cater to them? The government have got to be able to sell that so that people can stop and think and say, well, I can do my pimping riding in the afternoon, but I will go to vocational school in the morning. That is what the nation needs to grasp. And then we have got all of the younger ones, the kids, that need to be in school, not selling cold water in the street. That if a child is selling cold water in the street, it is being frowned upon by the community. This is the philosophical approach that we are talking about here. And Liberia has not quite grasped yet.
Ambassador Bobby, you strike a very, very significant point. You see, when we talk about the philosophy of education, we are talking about a related belief, a belief of how our students are taught, what they are taught, the mentors that are being used, what are the roles of our teachers in our schools, the purpose of our schooling in our country. So you see, you said something that is very significant that we discuss these things. Because if we don't have a philosophy of education in Liberia, we cannot succeed. So it's very significant that we touch those points, and you brought it up. And I want us all to discuss this issue. Now, Bobby, coming back to you, do you believe that the Liberian government has been willing to extend education to all segments of his society, particularly the younger generation?
No. Look, the government, let us be honest, and does huge challenges when it comes to education. The challenges are huge. But then the approach that you take to tackling those challenges, what we judge you by, the approach has been very, very disappointing. Very disappointing. We are not discounting the fact that we have got challenges, that our education system was broken. The president came out in 2013, after she got into power in 2005 or 6, it took her 2013 to state that the education system was a mess. And how long it took before she made any changes in the Ministry of Education? Was another 2-3 years down the line. So I'm talking about the approach has never been, very encouraging from government. And not just the approach in terms of making changes or where necessary, but the approach in terms of actually equipping our system. Talk about, the university today. It is so, so discouraging. And not to put any of our colleagues down in Liberia. Those guys and our sisters are doing wonderful, doing extremely well to study under the condition. And mind you, sometimes people make these blanket statements out of ignorance. Our students are still some of the brightest you can think about. I know Liberians who attended school in Liberia throughout their lives, and they came to Australia. It is the university here. Can you imagine that? The current investment commissioner, he studied in Australia for his master degree. He wrote two books and he got two master degrees from the National University here. This is something that we got to take into consideration. That our colleagues, our fellow countrymen, we are very smart. But if we look in the sub-region, when I say we've been left behind, Liberia was once the beacon of education in the West, on the West Coast of Africa. We had teachers coming from South Africa to come and help us in our system. We had teachers coming from Ghana. We had young kids in high school.
We have a question.
Yeah.
Ambassador Wifi, we have a question coming from Facebook. And this question is directed to Mr. Sivikos Basigya. Do you think that the current education minister has done much or little in regards to the Liberian educational system? This question is for Mr. Sivikos Basigya. But Ambassador Wifi is also allowed to contribute as well.
Dr. Dickey, I would say no. I would say excellent that no. He hasn't done anything. In my initial paraphrasing, I mentioned to you that if the education minister George wasn't on tour in Liberia in various countries for political reasons and was on tour for basically the academic and educational reform system, he may have done well by now. But in my wisdom, he was on these tours to know the various countries preparing for next elections, maybe for campaign for any team or whatever. Because after the tour, I don't see what's been going on. I only heard he distributed a bunch of books. And after the distribution of books, I haven't heard of any integration. Like we mentioned, the rural and urban integration of educational development, the urban and rural educational development. He hasn't integrated that. He's only traveling around the world and having his fantasy. So he hasn't done anything at all. I think from Messi now is going to sport because he has been placed in the system thinking that he was done better. But after all the several tours and world war traveled, I haven't heard of anything much done except for the minimum. So in this kind of respect, I would disagree that he has done anything. He hasn't done anything at all. He's on fantasy.
Thank you, Mr. Basigya. Now, to our listeners and our participants tonight, for those of you in Regiland, we want you to text 347-286-1716. The number again is 347-286-1716. Now, back to our studio guest. Now, we found out that when the new education minister came to power, he had some proposals that he brought up that could revamp the education system in Liberia. Those proposals, where are they today?
Which of us are you referring to, sir?
Mr. Sivikos Basigya, what happened to the proposal from the education minister? He brought a loan proposal that would develop our schools, renovate our schools, and yet and still we found out that we don't have a philosophy of education. So where are we heading?
Dr. Dekia, like I just disagree with the question, I would say we are nowhere yet. We are nowhere yet basically because, like Joko Bryan and others were saying, and like Ambassador Bobby just profoundly executed, there aren't any philosophy genuine enough. We know there are things on the books in reference to our colleague who formerly served as vice president of the UL. There are things on the books that we all can look to and we can look at and we can reform and restructure it. But the fellow hasn't done anything. He hasn't brought those proposals to excellence. He hasn't brought them to even good leader, hasn't been fair or tried. He has placed those proposals as a note, as just a bunch of notes that anybody can read through. The fellow came forward to have executed a plan of reform to integrate and change the society and make education more wholesome in our environment again. But since he took over, all that I know, Dr. Dickey, and all that I know to my fellow countrymen, is that the brother has been one of the most well-traveled ministers in the shortest time. He has gone around the country. He has gone around other parts of the world and come and sat down. He's enjoying the
Now,
country.
We have another question for you, Mr. Sivikos. We have another question for you from, this is for us, also coming from Facebook. is for one Mr. Lincoln. He said, Mr. Sizikas, so you will do you support the termination or replacement of the current minister because you said he has done nothing? Who can you recommend if you were asked to be the next minister of education?
Thanks for the questionnaire, and thanks to the way we are interacting. Sincerely, if I were asked to ask the fellow out, I would not want to recommend that he's asked out. I would recommend that this brother is told his functionaries that this brother is told no, he needs some therapy. He needs some educational therapy. He needs to be talked to basically of his specific functions and how he functions, how he goes about. But I think he's been brought in these spaces because he was offered another one and denied earlier on. He's been brought in these spaces to fill in so as to execute a different plan. Because if you hurt an entire school system, giving a specific scenario that there was an Ebola and things were not functioning properly, we agree with you. We supported his adventure. And that the DK knows. We all supported that this brother was right in his quest. And later that we recognized that he's being right, wasn't going in the right trend. If we were to ask if he was to be fired today, we would not accept that he be fired today.
I just want to hold you out there for a little while, just a little. Now, because we have a lot of questions coming in. We got another question for Ambassador Whitty, but let me just tell you this. Now, if you are saying that the education minister is underperforming, then why should he have a job? Because if he stays as an education minister, it means that the country is being extravagant with its resources. So why are you recommending therapy for him?
In every system, even as we all are in the United States, nobody just get fired, bro. You don't just get fired. You haven't just gotten fired from job here. You get warning letters, and after warning letters, you probably maybe get suspended or maybe send on something else and later before coming back, and then later get fired just in case. But he hasn't reached the point to get fired. I think there are still rooms if he listens because he has up to one more year. He isn't in function for a longer time. He's in function for a short while. And if he were to just listen for 1 minute.
Can I stop you over there for a while and bring in Ambassador Winfrey? Ambassador Winfrey, do you support the vicar's argument that the current minister has not done anything to advance the Liberia Education Center? Remember, you are one of international news, unlike, I'm sorry, hold on 1 second. Remember, Ambassador Winfrey, you are on an international news outlet, and this will be on record for life. Do you support what Mr. Zekos Basikel has said?
Look, I don't have all the facts before me to do a proper appraisal of the minister, but I think Mr. Basikel has got a very salient point. You know, based on my own observation, I remember when the Ebola kicked in, the parents were crying that, oh, no, school shouldn't open at this time, and the government really pushed for school to open. And even some senator went against that and said, no, this is not the best time for school to open. There are still some challenges that are lingering from the Ebola. And the minister was very, very, you know, adamant that he was going to open school, and that was it. And he opened school. What happened? A couple of months or so later, they came back and said he wanted to close school. And then they had to close school. Look, you don't play with people integrity like that. Okay? You don't do that. And the only reason why the government pushed to open school at the time everybody was saying, don't open school, was because the president of Liberia had a trip to visit Barack Obama in the White House. And they needed some talking points that, oh, Ebola is gone, we have done this, we have done that, we have reopened school. But it was never about the interest of the people. Remember, education should be what? Student-centered. When we talk about education, it should be all about the students. So when Basikia talks about he observed the minister traveling around, you know, the counties for political purpose, I can draw a conclusion based on the fact that the president was going to use education as one of her talking points to reopen school that was going to be later closed, which was very, very, you know, naive.
Ambassador Winfrey, let's try to bring in this caller. He called with last 4 digits. With digits 4 or 1703. Caller, you are live in studio.
Yeah, this is Randolph Lee, and I just want to take this time to say I don't think it would be appropriate for us now to decide that to change the minister. I think what we can do, those things that we believe that will help the educational system, we should be talking to him and be helping him, because I believe now, I don't think we have a better Jesus that we're going to send to the educational system that in a twinkle of an eye everything will change. What we can do is to talk to him. He's our friend and brother. We can call him. You can invite him on the show and let him give us some information about what is happening and let us give our input. Because I believe today, you pick up this minister and bring another minister, it's not going to help.
Do you think that the education minister will honor our invitation to come and discuss issues relating to education development in Liberia?
Trust me, he's going to do that. I think it was Nogofo invited him, and I participated on that particular show. So if you make time, he definitely going to find time to be part of this. I don't know him personally, but I listened to him on the Nogofo show, and I participated. So I believe let's do this thing. Let's collaborate to do this thing. It's not about bringing another person to say, oh, yes, go there. Trust me, they can even take you today and put you there. If they support and you don't have to train teacher, those things you want to see happen will not happen. It's almost like the Billy Man theory. When the child is walking and the child stomp, hits a hot toes and fall, they go and beat the ground. It is not the ground. It's where the child stomp is toes. Let's see what is happening. Do we have qualified teachers? Do we have trained teachers that can implement the curriculum? Do we have parents that are in power? Like, I've heard people trying to compare the American system to that of the education system back home. That's two different things you're talking about. They got free and compulsory education here with all of the facilities here. I live on 12th Street. When you go to 8th Glen, Alexander Glen Tuckmore Junior High School, where they also have elementary school, when you go into the classroom, you find almost 50 to 60 kids sitting in one place. They learn nothing. Let's talk about improving the environment. This is where we need to be attacking, because if you have the teacher sitting and the students back, they're not even listening to it, they're not going to get what they're supposed to get. So all that I think we need to do is to bring him, invite him, and he will be able to give us what is going on. Because now all that we're doing, some of us left Liberia 2 years ago, some left 10 years ago, some left 15 years ago. So we are assuming. Let him have his house's mouth, then we can critique him.
Oh, well, we're going to do our best to invite the education minister to our talk show. We are going to do our best. If possible, we're going to send in some communication that will be made public so that he can come, because we believe that our ministers of education, whoever they are, I mean, the deputy and everyone in authority, should be served and be able to serve the people. So when we have questions, they should be able to respond to. I want to thank you, Mr. Caller. And do you have any questions for our super guest before we can let you go?
I would like to ask the studio guest from Australia. And I would
Ambassador
like to walk in, Ambassador Bobby. I'm sorry. What are his plans towards the country called Liberia? What are for elementary, for junior high, for college? What are his plans when it comes to education? Or what he's doing now? Or what he's been doing? Can we know some?
Thank you. I really admire our, Liberian approach to these things. Whenever you wake up to speak, and people want to know what are your plans or what you've been doing, before they can. But that's a very great question. Look, we've been.
Please make sure your. Please make sure your surrounding is very clear of noise, because we're hearing a lot of feedback. So please, if you're not beautiful.
Look, I'm sitting in a very quiet office, so I don't think that's my surrounding. Like I said, the brother asked a very great question, and I'm going to answer the question.
Look, when we came to this country, we knew that we were in a very pivotal position in terms of advocacy because it was a unique opportunity that Liberians in the diaspora and in our particular, you know, geographic location, Australia, be able to, you know, advocate on behalf of our country. And I like I said, it has always been about service. I don't serve in the Liberian community here in Australia, which is also a contribution to the nation because Liberians here, if they can settle through, you know, successfully, they will contribute, you know, greatly back home. So part of that contribution has been helping Liberians in Australia to settle through some of my professional work and my voluntary work. But some other really noticeable achievement or accomplishment in my advocacy was back in 2011, I recall the Australian, that is the federal government of Australia, invited me to serve as a witness in an inquiry on Australia's relationship with the country of Africa. Remember, at the time, Australia wanted a seat on the Security Council, a temporary seat on the Security Council, and Australia needed the vote to be in her favor, and she wanted to lobby all of those other countries, especially African and, you know, the Caribbean countries, to win their votes to get that particular temporary seat on the Security Council. So the then Prime Minister at the time, Kevin Rudd, he initiated what we call the inquiry into Australia's relationship with the country of Africa. And the Australian Parliament, the parliamentary committee that was heading that, which is the Parliamentary Committee of Foreign Affairs and Defense and what have you, invited prominent community leaders from across various African countries. And I was one of those who put in a submission in collaboration with the Refugee Council of Australia, where I sit as a board member, and I was invited to give, you know, testimony why, you know, how Australia could improve the relationship with countries of Africa. Being from Liberia, I felt that the most or the strongest case that I could make was for Liberia. So I put forward very strongly that Australia over the years have given scholarship to, you know, Africans from East Africa, South Africa, but not a lot of West Africa and not Liberians. There were, you know, one or two Liberians here, maybe studying privately or so, but that's a scholarship. So that recommendation was very successful. It filtered through, and Australia award was extended. You could see over 100 or 200 Liberians coming over the following years to study in their various master degrees across Australia. It was because Liberians in Australia, not just my advocacy directly with the federal government, but Liberians in Australia, the way they comport themselves, the way they interact with the Australians, have led to the Australian having that, you know, very good way towards our country. So those are some of the advocacy. When the Ebola broke out in Liberia, Liberians from across this place, you know, Australia, teamed up and they started to host rallies, you know, in all of the capital cities across, raising awareness that our people are dying back home. You need to come into the fight against, you know, Ebola. And the federal government of Australia, again, you know, contributed $44 million towards the fight against Ebola. So, look, we have been supporting in a lot of ways. I went to Liberia, visited school,
We have a question. And by the way, we have a question from one Ezekiel Lama. I just want to take that question, and we're going to come back. You know, we have a whole lot. Right now, we have 4,000 people, you know, I mean, listening to us right now. So, this question is going to Mr. Sivikas Basigia, and I want Ambassador Wifi to just hold on for a second. I know we're running out of time. This question is for Ezekiel Lama. Mr. Sivikas, do you have a beef with the Minister of Education? I'm overhearing here that you have not heard with him before. How do you answer? And if yes, can we assume that your criticism tonight of him is based on that bad blood?
It's funny, Dr. Dickie. The education minister and myself, I never had beef before. I've seen him twice. As a matter of fact, he have even asked me if I wanted to work before. And so we never got no beef. But you know the kind of person I am, undercover from the UL who's in Savannah will tell you very cleanly. I'm straight to that point that you can be my friend and I tell you just how it is. Anyone who has known me or Glee will tell you very frankly that I can tell you straightforward that you're in the wrong position right now or you're in the right position doing the wrong thing. So there's nothing going on. I'm helping the brother. Like I recommended, he doesn't get fired. If I wanted him fired, man, everybody knows me in Liberia. I will push the president. I will push the country. They will get him fired if he's not doing good. But he needs our criticism.
Are you saying that the education minister is not qualified for the job?
He may be qualified given the description of the president. Remember now, to be appointed education minister and minister for other portfolios, that's discretionary for in the executive range. She does that according to her will. When we're not satisfied, we push our arguments and counter react. So he may be qualified, but where we having the problem is the execution. We're having a problem with the execution. Yes, sir.
I want to hold you guys over there. You know, we're running out of time. We're already running out of time. We want to accommodate everybody. I want us to bring in Brother Joko Bryan for 1 minute before we can close this show. Mr. Bryan, give us a perception.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Dikir, and thank you to Ambassador Bobby Wilfie with you and Civic Obasikia for your brilliant comments. But the issue here is not about getting rid of the minister. The thing here is about it is a holistic approach. You can get rid of the minister and bring somebody who has a PhD in educational psychology in as much as he doesn't have that support, in as much as the society have not thrown positively in building a concept, an idea, or regarding education, of seeing education as the fulcrum to enhancing any society, will not force ahead.
Okay,
let me address my brother. We have two seconds
for this show to close. So I beg, I'm going to stop you over there. We're going to invite you next time, but we want to have a closing argument from Mr. Sivakas and Mr. Whitfield. 30 seconds each, and then we're going to close the show. We apologize. It's a one-hour show. We're going to try to see who we can try to accommodate more time. So Mr. Sivakas and you first, and then you, Mr. Whitfield. 30 seconds each.
Thank you, Dr. Dikir, for the invitation so that we could speak to our people across the world. Thank you, Ambassador Bobby Wifi, for extending the Liberian community, therefore, in Australia. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, who participated on the show, and we are grateful that we all could interact today. By the grace of God, God's willing, we will come again on these kind of tables to have greater opinion exchanges. We are grateful that we could say what we wanted to say and say in a peaceful manner. May God bless us and save Liberia.
Thank you, Ambassador Wifi.
Thank you very much for the great platform, and thank you to my colleague, Mr. Basigia, and yourself, our host, Dr. Dikir. It's wonderful, and I think all of our callers contributed greatly to the topic. I'm not going away with the thought that this forum is about calling on the minister to resign. It was just some critical, perspective that came out in the discussion. I think just in closing for me, I would say the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The next best time to do it is today. So Liberia, we missed on the opportunity 10 years ago when this governor came to power. I think we can stay, manage, and get it right today. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. We want to thank our studio guests, Mr. Sivakas Basigia and Ambassador Wilfie. All of our listening audience, our participants, we have almost 4,000 people following us tonight. We want to thank every one of you wherever you are in Liberia, in the United States, in Canada, the island, wherever you are following us. This is the educational show. This is where we find solutions. We make recommendations. We are not against anyone. I want to see Liberia prosper. And this is why we have decided to give heart, to give our time to the development of education in Liberia. Today, we discuss the philosophy of education in Liberia. Thank you. And I hope to see you guys next Monday, February 29th at 9:30 p.m. May God bless you and have a peaceful night. Bye.
Slow it down. Benji Cavalli. Just Prince. Slow it down, oh. Slow it down, oh. I got plenty of money, oh. Slow it down, oh. Slow it down, oh. Baby, slow it down. I will wait for you, oh. Slow it down. Oh, baby, go slow. Come on. Jump it down, low.
I'm in love with a beautiful girl.